Well, hello, everyone. Once again, welcome to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad that you're joining us for our online worship experience. Well, this week, I got into a debate that I've had a number of times with lots of different people over the year. I got into a debate over where to find the best pizza. Now, I'm not talking about the best pizza locally, because that's Elizabeth's here in Pittsburgh, but I was talking about, it was sort of in a larger context. See, I was talking with someone from Chicago, and we got into it about whether one can get the best pizza from Chicago or, in my opinion, from New York. Now, we were going back and forth a little bit, and it was getting playfully heated, and then at one point, I said something like, you know, New York pizza is definitely better than that tomato soup in a bread bowl y'all call pizza in Chicago. You know, and like I said, it was playful, but I clearly have strong opinions about where the best pizza can be found, and I've gotten into lots of arguments, some maybe not as playful over the years, around something like pizza, something that is relatively simple but is important to me. Now, maybe you've never gotten into an argument with someone about pizza. Maybe you just don't have strong opinions about what constitutes good pizza. I don't understand how that's possible, but maybe that's true for you. But I'm sure there are other things that you have strong opinions about. Maybe you have strong opinions and have gotten into arguments with people about how to load the dishwasher. Or maybe about what constitutes a barbecue and what has to remain being labeled as a cookout. Maybe those are the issues that you are passionate about. You know, the perennial one in North Carolina is whether it's Duke, NC State, or UNC that's better. That's the perennial one. Whatever it is, these arguments can sometimes, these issues, these opinions we have about these things can sometimes get heated to the point that they affect relationships. Maybe you've had a relationship that's been affected by one of these issues. But folks, if we're honest with ourselves, if we take a step back, none of these issues is really that important. I mean, yes, they matter, of course. It matters to me where the best pizza is. But none of them are that important to cost us relationships. However, there are issues that are important that we feel strongly about, that maybe have affected us, that maybe we do get into arguments about, that are maybe objectively important, that it matters what people think. Issues like what political party to support, or which candidate to vote for, or how to be involved or not in some social issues. Some people have strong opinions about issues related to parenting, whether it's nursing, or sleep, or education. Some of us have strong opinions about our investments, where we put our money. In church, people have strong opinions, have had strong opinions over what music is allowed to be played in church, or which version of the Bible to read, or which nonprofits we can and cannot partner with. Over the course of years, like these issues, all of these issues and many more, have risen and gotten heated to the point where they've affected relationships. They've affected relationships in ways that move beyond simply agreeing to disagree. There are relationships that have been broken, distance that has been created between people because of these important issues and what we think about them and the opinions we have. Now, that may lead us to think that maybe it's better to not have any opinions. Or if we have opinions, strong ones, maybe we shouldn't share them. Maybe you're on the other side of that. Maybe you're on the other side and think, you know what? I have a mental list. Maybe you've never actually formulated it, but you actually have a list of things people need to agree with you on before you can be in relationship with them, before you open up, whether it's professionally or personally. But there's got to be a better option, right? There's got to be something more than just that. We're in the last week of a series that we've titled Disagree Deeply, Love Deeper Still. Love for God and love for the people made in God's image provides us the tools and the direction so that we can engage in deep love relationship with people even in the midst of disagreements about important issues, about issues that matter. And today we're going to close this series with some principles and practice that will help us when we find ourselves in those conversations around deeply contentious issues that we have strong opinions about that might get heated. We're going to share some principles and practices to help us in those moments when we're in loaded conversations. We're going to draw from Romans 14 for this morning, and I'm going to read chunks of it here and there, and I'm going to show some parts of it on the screen. So you can feel free, if you have access to it, to find it in the Bible so you can follow along, but I'm going to be reading sort of from different places in it. So in this chapter, what Paul is doing is he's writing to a Christian community who is engaged in, he's engaging around two particular disputable issues, issues that they're having arguments about. And they are issues that they feel strongly about. They're issues that people had strong opinions about in the first century. One issue was about whether people can eat meat, you know, what dietary restrictions should apply to the Christian community. The other one was about whether a day or any day was meant to be kept sacred, was meant to be kept holy to the Lord. And people had strong opinions about these things. And apparently in the midst of that, one group would consider themselves strong in the faith because of what they believed about these two issues. And they saw the other group as weak in the faith. So in light of that, Paul starts his 14th chapter by saying this to the community in Rome. He says, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling about disputable matters. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling about disputable matters. Note that it doesn't say that you can't disagree. Note that it doesn't say that you can't hold opposing views. But in saying accept, what he's implying or what he's communicating is that these issues cannot rise up. They can't get heated to the point where they divide the community. These issues can't rise up to the point where they divide us. These are not issues worth splitting over. People can engage around them. We can engage around disputable issues. But when we do so, we can do so without always having to resort to fighting about it, to proving ourselves right, to winning the conversation. And we do it without using what people think about these issues as a measuring stick to determine who's in, who's out, who's best and who's not. We can disagree deeply about disputable matters while loving deeper still and remaining in relationship. That is the gift that we have. We can disagree deeply about disputable matters while remaining in relationships without resorting to quarreling, without resorting to fighting. Now, what Paul's going to talk about in the rest of this chapter is not about, you know, the way to do this, the way to remain in these relationships is to figure out like the key conversational tool. Conversational tools are important. I've used conversational tools, tools for communication that have helped me remain in conversation, but they're not the most important thing. They're not the thing that enables us to remain lovingly in deep disagreement. We've had millennia to figure out how to have civil dialogue, how to have civil discourse, how to stay in relationship in the midst of disagreement, and we still haven't figured it out. In fact, it feels sometimes like we just keep getting worse and worse. And so woven throughout this chapter, woven throughout Romans 14, is the core of what makes it possible for us to disagree deeply and love deeper still. Here's what it says. The one who eats anything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Paul keeps coming back. He keeps pointing back to God. Paul keeps pointing back to Jesus throughout this passage because it is in light of who God is. It is in light of what he's done in and through Jesus and how he relates to us that we are able to disagree deeply while loving deeper still, while remaining in relationships. Paul invites us to not quarrel over disputable matters and let them divide us. He invites us to do that because of who Jesus is and what he did. Because through Jesus' life, Through his death on the cross and his resurrection, he has made a way, he has made it possible for us to be right with God. And one of the fruits of us being right with God is that we're enabled to be right with each other. One of the reasons many of the issues that we talk about, many of the issues that we find becoming disputable, many of the issues that we find ourselves in arguments about tend to or can divide us is because we tether ourselves to them. We tie ourselves to our opinions on issues, to our positions on certain conversations, to our beliefs about them. And when we do that, they start to shape who we are. They start to shape and change who we are becoming. They start to form our identity, but they are fragile. So when we encounter someone who opposes us, when we encounter someone who holds a different point of view, we will naturally feel threatened. Our identity will feel threatened. But in Christ, our identity, our value, our worth are secure. They are unthreatenable. When we tie ourselves primarily to Christ, our identity is unthreatenable. It's a matter of being tethered and tied primarily to God in Christ rather than to our positions or opinions. So make your tie with God in Christ the first and the strongest in your life. If you do that, you'll be able to disagree deeply while loving deeper still. You'll be able to disagree deeply without those disagreements rising to quarrels. You'll be able to engage in deep relationship with people even if you don't agree with them on every important matter or issue. Without that, without this being our first tie, our identity will always feel threatened when opposition comes. We won't be able to remain in relationships. Without this being primary, everything else that I share today, everything else that we've shared in the series will eventually wear out. It will wear thin. It will not be enough. So make your tie to God in Christ the first and strongest in your life, because in doing so, you'll be able to do the following when you find yourself in disagreement. You'll be able to cancel contempt. Now, I know cancel is a loaded word right now, and many of us don't like it, but preachers have a thing for alliteration, and so that one out for me. So cancel contempt. Throughout the passage, Paul talks about keeping ourselves away from contempt, from not having contempt for those we disagree with. If our tie to God in Christ is the first and strongest, then we can resist looking down on those who think differently than us, those who have different opinions or different perspectives. We can resist thinking of them as less important. We can resist thinking of their opinions as worthless. We can resist looking on them with scorn. Yikes! Those things, looking down on people with scorn, like considering their opinions worthless, considering their opinions less important, considering them less important people, those are horrible things. People who have contempt for others feel like horrible people. They sound like horrible people. Who could be like that? We can be like that. All the time, more often than we're willing to admit. I'm like that about pizza more than I'd like to admit, friends. It just happens. It happens. So how do we avoid it? How can we cancel contempt practically? What's one tool? Here's a tool I found helpful. Pray blessings over those you disagree with. Pray blessings over those you disagree with. God wants good for the people we disagree with. That is an uncontroversial statement, because God wants good for everyone. Now, note that I didn't say God wants them to agree with you. Now, that might end up being a good thing for them, but God wants so much more. Friends, every time I've prayed blessings for those I disagree with, whether it's in the moment I'm disagreeing with them, before or after, I become more aware of and uncomfortable with the places where I feel contempt towards them. I tolerate contempt less. I become more inclined to cancel contempt. So pray blessings for people so that you can cancel contempt. Another thing Paul invites us to do is found in the passage where it says, each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. It's this idea of being fully convinced. What do I mean by that? Well, friends, it's good to do the kind of work that shores up our own opinions and perspectives on issues. It's good to do the kind of work that researches, that has a sense of, okay, here's why I think this. Here's where it comes from. Here's how I've arrived at this conclusion. But it's not enough to do that. That helps us. That helps us remain unthreatened. But it's also good to go the extra mile, to be fully convinced by engaging the other side. Do research, listen, think through why people arrive at a different conclusion. Now, here's a word of advice, because I notice a lot of people think they do this because they listen to people who agree with them talk about the other side. Friends, that is not always helpful because you're inheriting their bias, you're inheriting their perspective. As much as you can, go listen to people who heartily believe in the other side. Like, attend to them. Go to primary sources. Go to primary sources so that when you engage in disagreement, you can represent the other side with honesty and integrity in a way that makes them feel heard. That will facilitate being able to disagree deeply while remaining in loving relationship. But here's the thing. There's a lot of pressure in our society, in our day and age, to have opinions and say things often in an ongoing way. There's so many issues that call for us to have opinions before we've become fully convinced. Well, let me gift you with a couple of phrases you can use in those moments where you feel pressure to share something, pressure to say something, but you don't yet know precisely why you believe what you believe or even what you might believe. Here's some phrases you can use. I don't know enough about that. And you can say to have a strong opinion or to have a perspective. Or you can say things like, I'm still learning about that, but here's what I've got so far. Those present us as a person with humility, who's on the journey to being fully convinced, who is open to share what they have, but also open to listening, open to continuing to grow. Here's what that can look like in practice. A number of years ago, just like there have been recently, there were protests going around in the country tied to issues around race and ethnicity and policing and social policy. And I realized, a friend and I realized that we had different perspectives on this, that we didn't agree. So we decided to go get lunch. Now, both of us had done our work. We had read, we had thought, we had prayed. And so we sat down and we were curious. We wanted to know how someone that we respected could think so differently than us on a particular issue. So we heard each other's stories. We asked clarifying questions. We shared our perspective. We got curious while remaining unthreatened. And after all of that, we tried to figure out if there were any ways that our perspectives needed to shift. At the end of that day, neither of us switched sides, but both of us shifted our perspective. Both of us grew in appreciation of the other, and both of us grew in respect for our relationship with one another. We disagreed deeply while loving deeper still and remaining in relationship. In verse 13, Paul tells his readers, make up your mind to not put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Make up your mind. There's lots of ways we can put obstacles in the way we talk or engage with people. See, what we say, how we say it, how we listen, and how we treat others affects. It affects how disagreements play out. It affects also how those people relate to God and to us. In how we treat people that we disagree with, we can make it easier or harder for them to remain connected with God and remain connected with us. And it's not just what we say. I've experienced at times in meetings that people are sharing an idea and they stop sharing because I've rolled my eyes or I've made a gesture with my face without even realizing it. And they've felt like I've devalued them. Now, at times, really what I've been doing is just processing what they're saying and not really agreeing with what they're saying. But in how I reacted, I made it harder for them to stay connected with me. Remember, in the midst of deep disagreements, we have both issues to talk about and also people to engage with. There are both issues to address and people to attend to. So we've got to sort of toe the line between depersonalizing an issue to the point where we don't see the person anymore, or over-personalizing an issue where the point where we make the issue the person, and when we attack the issue, when we combat the issue, we're combating the person. There is a line in between attention to manage, and it looks like this. Engage the issue. Love the people. This is a practice in deep disagreement. It's not easy, but it's important, and it makes a difference in how people stay connected to God and to you in the midst of deep disagreement. Engage the issue. Love the people. Engage the issue. Love the people. Don't shy away from engaging, but also don't stop loving. If we do those things, we'll be able to disagree deeply, but love deeper still. Make it your goal. Make it your goal that as much as it is up to you, in every disagreement that you engage in, what you leave, what ends up happening, is that people end up closer to God, and they end up closer to you, even if you don't end up agreeing. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? And it's possible. This leads us to our last section. So let's look at the text again briefly. It says, "So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Leave a relational legacy that you can be proud of. Our world is full of people whose goal it is to win every argument, to win every disagreement. They either want to draw people to their side or leave them in the dust. And if we're honest, some of us are more like that than we care to admit. I know I am. I'm prone to that. But we see the fruit of that all over our world, and it isn't good. It's broken relationships. It's pain, and we feel that. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some arguments and disagreements that call for an attempt to convince. They call for an attempt to win over. But our love for God and His love for the people we disagree with calls us to something even greater. It calls us to something even greater than just winning people over. It calls us to build bridges where there are chasms. It calls us to build up where others have torn down. It calls us to work for peace where others have contented themselves with ongoing animosity. It calls us to work for peace in those situations. So right there where you are, think about your life. When you look around at your relationships, and when you look back at your relationships, what story is your life telling? What story are your relationships telling, especially your relationships with the ones you disagree with? At the end of your life, what story would you want those relationships to tell? What if it was said years from now in Chatham County that there was a group of people who changed the atmosphere when things got heated? What if it was said that there were a group of people who could build friendships among people that others thought would never sit at the same table together? What if it was said that there were a group of people who helped build a community that worked together for the good of all? What if it was said that there were a group of people who knew how to disagree deeply while loving deeper still, and it made all the difference for years in Chatham County? Friends, I want that for myself. I want that for you. I want that for all of us. So let's tie ourselves to God first and foremost so that we can disagree deeply and love deeper still. You need it. I need it. Our church needs it. Our community needs it. The world needs it. In a moment, I'm going to put up a slide with some reflection prompts for us. What we've done recently over the last 6 months is we've shortened the service to allow space for people to talk in a Zoom conversation around some discussion questions. If you've never been on one of these, today's an opportunity to join. We're going to stream one of those conversations, but there will also be conversations on that Zoom that won't be streamed, so you can join those if you don't feel comfortable being streamed. And also, if you just want to participate by observing, you can do that as well. You can stay on the YouTube channel for that. Some of us just need prayer right now, and we've got a Zoom call for you. Our prayer team is ready and willing and able and longing to pray with and for you about these issues or any other issues, and a link to those calls will be in the chat and in the show more section. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share three questions for us to reflect on. I'm going to pray. They're going to be up on the screen for a minute, and then the Zoom call will start, so you can join with that. And if you're watching this at a later date, you can reflect on these throughout the weeks. Here are the three questions. The first is, what gets in the way of you disagreeing deeply while loving the people you disagree with? right? What gets in the way of you deeply loving those you disagree with? We're at the end of a series, so it's good to look back and think about what still gets in the way of you loving those you disagree with. Second thing I want you to consider is which of the principles or practices that have been shared either today or in weeks past do you want to try out? Which do you want to adopt to help you better deeply love those you disagree with? And what difference do you think it will make? And the last one I want you to consider is about your relational legacy. How do you want your relational legacy to change for the good? And I want to invite you to be as specific as you can. Think of relationships that you have that aren't going well with people you disagree with. How do you want those to change? What story do you want told about you? I'm going to pray. Questions will be up on the screen for a minute, and then join the Zoom call. May the God who loves you and loves the people you disagree with call you forth to be tied primarily to him. May you find your identity secure in him. May you feel overwhelmed and an overflowing sense of his love so that you may be able to engage with those you disagree with in a way that changes the atmosphere, that leaves a better legacy. In Jesus' name, amen.